When Jessica first asked me if I had a holiday story from hell, the question really was which one. I mean, our family has botched, you know, several holidays, and I really had to make a decision. There was the Thanksgiving where we were driving home from church in the morning, and fire trucks were just coming by us with their, you know, sirens and lights, and you know, we get over and let them go to our house. So that wasn't so great. And then there was Easter morning 2 years ago. My parents had, they were in the car and they had their lasagna and their lilies. And they were arrested for car theft. Also true. But these didn't seem hellish enough. So I chose Christmas week, the entire week of 1996. And it starts off on Christmas Day, the morning of Christmas. My grandmother, who was about 80 and in actually very good health, opened up her Christmas presents and went upstairs to get changed, had a massive heart attack, and dropped dead. I know, it's a total bummer, and I realize it's a sad note. However, if you stick with me, you'll get your Christmas miracle. It's coming. Hang in there. This is a tough one. Okay, so at the time, I was dating a guy named Dennis, and Dennis was my boyfriend for about 5 months. The entire thing was long distance. We had met, and then he moved away, and so we never lived in the same state. So after 5 months, you don't really know somebody that well, even if you're in the same state. So I called him up and just told him of the news, and to my surprise, he said, "Well, I'm coming up. I'm going to be there for you. I'm driving up. I'll leave tomorrow, and I'll be there to support you," which was really nice. However, it made me very nervous because he hadn't met my family. And, you know, he had met just my parents, but not the rest of the wacky clan. So he drives up in his 1985 Plymouth Reliant K car. Does everyone remember those? Yep. And I actually thought you had to be 90 to drive that, but he was only in his 20s, and he comes up in this, and he comes right to the wake, and he doesn't, you know, go to my parents' house. He goes right to the funeral home, and he pulls in this thing, you know, and he pulls in between, you know, it's in Fort Lee, New Jersey, so, you know, it's like a black Mercedes and a black town car, and he pulls in, and my brother, I have an older brother named Al, my brother Al sees Dennis and says, "You know, I'll go get him." Also panic. Once again, Al is interesting. Al is 4 years older than I am, and he is a successful lawyer. He's a partner in a law firm in New Jersey. He's a family guy. He's got three kids. And he hasn't had a conversation in probably about 25 years that doesn't involve farting. He's a huge fan of the scatological. Anything to do with bathroom talk makes this guy laugh. You know, he's the one in class, you know, Uranus. It doesn't matter what the question is. That's the answer for Al. So he goes out to meet my new boyfriend. And by the time they're walking back in, they're both cracking up, you know. And I lean over to Dennis. And I said, "What are you laughing about? You're coming into the funeral." And he just looked at me and he said, "It's your brother. He's explaining some crazy new invention he's thinking about. It's a charcoal thong." And, you know, and I must have just been blank, and he said, "It's a filtering system." So, enough said, don't ask, right? So, you know, he meets the rest of the family, and everybody is surprised that he's there and very impressed and thinks, you know, what a nice guy. You know, who is he, though? And we go afterwards. We're Italian, so of course we have a huge meal after a funeral. And we're in the restaurant, and, you know, everybody's getting to meet Dennis. And, you know, he looks at me, and he says, "Look at the bathrooms." And sure enough, you know, we'd all been eating this thing called flan. And, you know, the bathrooms are starting to fill up. And my brother, Al, naturally, you know, psyched, you know, he looks at me, and he's like, "I think everyone's going, you know, number two." This is material for him for the next, you know, 10 years. And what happened was this sort of this gastrointestinal thing attacked my entire family. And we still don't know whether it was the flan or the flu, but whatever it was, it was evil. And you know, people were either going to the bathroom or going out the door. And my mom gets up to leave. My poor mom, she lost her mother Christmas morning, and you know, now she's looking green. And she goes to leave the restaurant, and the maitre d', you know, comes out to her, "Excuse me, madam, you know, can I give you a brown bag for your food?" My sweet mom looks at him and says, "Just the bag." And she actually did throw up in the parking lot, in the doggy bag. So, you know, at this point, we all make a huge exodus out, you know, and we go to our homes, and everybody gets this, you know, we're all throwing up for like the next 12 hours, except for Dennis, the new boyfriend. He's in his new girlfriend's house taking care of everybody. He's, you know, he's holding my hair. He's running out for ginger ale. He doesn't know where he is. He's finding stores, you know, and buying crackers. And he's taking care of the two dogs. My parents have two dogs at the time. And he's taking care of their bird. They have a parakeet. And it's one of these parakeets that my, you know, my parents, like anyone else, have mixed feelings about birds and cages. So they let him fly loose. And he's, you know, he's all over the house. And, you know, so he's watching out that the dogs don't get the bird. And the bird's name is Wedgwood, which is the color of the bird. He's that bluish. And my parents, without any hint of sarcasm whatsoever, I still don't think they get it, call him Wedgie. So, you know, Wedgie's all over the place, you know. And, of course, my brother. Now you see where Al comes from, right? He loves that name. Okay. So... So the next morning, I'm feeling much better. Dennis is getting hit with this. And I should have mentioned, he came up also because he had his best friend's wedding in Brooklyn. And we had New Year's Eve plans. So, you know, it made sense that, you know, he would stick out the week. And the next day is that wedding. So, you know, I say to him, "This is really bad. You know, this stomach thing gets very, very bad. If you're not feeling well, we really shouldn't go." Well, no, it's his best friend. He's got to go, you know. So we get in the car and we drive out to Brooklyn, and he throws up probably a half a dozen times on the FDR alone. So, you know, by the time we get there, he's weak and, you know, he feels like he's going to die. We walk in. We don't know anybody except for the groom. Somewhere between that huppah and the hava nagila, he goes down, and I mean he literally goes down. He passes out. He's, you know, in a ball by the coat rack. And, you know, everyone comes rushing over, you know, "Who's that guy?" You know? And there's my new boyfriend, Dennis, still here, and now he's crumpled. So, you know, I tell him we got to go home. So I pour him back in the car, and we drive back to New Jersey again. So now we're at my parents' the next day, and it's New Year's Day. It's New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, 1996. So we have these New Year's Eve plans, and, you know, you pay for them 6 months in advance, you know. So I made this big thing. I was so excited. I had a boyfriend, you know, and, you know, we're going to go out for New Year's. Damn it, you know, we're going. So the two of us, like the living dead, we go into Manhattan, you know, we think we're all schmancy. And, you know, we can't eat. We certainly cannot drink. You know, the two of us weigh about 150 pounds together. You know, we're living dead, walk in. And it's a total bust again. So we crash at our friend's apartment. And the next morning, very early, way too early for New Year's Day, the phone rings. And, you know, what's the expression? Good news sleeps till noon. Well, what is it? It's about 7, you know, so you know it's not good. And it's even worse when my friend says, "It's your mom." So, you know, my mom tracked me down on New Year's Day to tell me that my uncle had had a stroke in the middle of the night, and he's going to be okay, they think, but we should come home just in case. The way the week is going, we should probably be home. And I'll never forget it. My mom, the last question she said to me was, "Is Dennis still here?" Which was a very good question. And as I looked around, you know, and there he was, and he was staring at me, you know, very glassy in the eyes, you know, and looking as if, you know, this girl is cursed. I need to get home. You know, so I tell him what happened, and I say to my mom, he's here for now. We go back to New Jersey again, and we get into my parents' house, and it's New Year's Day, you know. We walk in, and there's a couple of relatives still hanging around, you know, making sure my mom's okay. And, you know, as soon as we walk in, we realize my uncle must be fine, because everyone is just the way they are, perfectly loud, inappropriate, irreverent, you know. So we're like, you know, he must be alive. And as we walk in, the crowd looks at Dennis and says, oh, my God, he's still here. That guy, you know, and he's obviously had the worst case of the flan flu from, you know, anybody in the crowd, you know, and they're patting him on the shoulder and saying, you know, you're not married to her. You really could go home. You know, it's time, you know. So he packs up his stuff and he's just about to leave. And, you know, we're all kind of giving our big goodbyes. And my mom starts screaming from the other room, Wedgie, 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 whiskey. So, you know, she's alternating between whiskey and wedgie, which meant nothing to us at the moment. You know, we're all, oh, she's completely lost it. And we run into the bathroom and we find my mom hovered over the toilet again. But this time she's looking at the parakeet who obviously took a flight and landed in the toilet and drowned. So I can't even look at Dennis at this point, you know. I don't want to know, you know. So, you know, we all rush in there. Oh, my God, what can we do, you know? And, you know, my cousins and I are like, he's dead. You know, there's really nothing you can do. Well, not on my mother's watch. She had had it with this. She had lost her mother. Her uncle had a stroke. She had the flu or whatever. She wasn't going to let this bird go so easily. So she scoops him out of the toilet and puts him down on a towel, starts drying him off, and she's fluffing him, you know. Excuse me. So she starts working his wings. And, you know, she's doing all the right things. My mom has no training as a rescue worker. So my brother and I are like, oh, my God, what is going on? She's, you know, so she's doing his wings. She starts pressing on his little chest with her fingers. And she takes, someone knows, she takes the bird, puts him to her mouth, fresh from the toilet, mind you, and starts doing mouth-to-beak resuscitation. Couple of puffs, couple of, you know, presses. Water comes shooting out of the bird. The bird's two holes, you know, his little beak. Water's coming out of his mouth. He stands up, ruffles himself off, and I swear to God, gets up, walks across the bathroom vanity, back into his cage. Good as new. Wedgie, our little Wedgie. So I know what you're all thinking. There's your Christmas miracle. The miracle is our Wedgie. But actually, the real miracle of the story is Dennis, the new boyfriend, still here. There he is. Happy holidays.